Happy New Year, everybody. Look at somebody and say, I can't believe I ate all that. Would you just say, look at somebody and say, I can't believe I ate everything I ate. We were in California and had a great time. We had one of those times when all the family was together and everybody was there. And so we took a big family picture. I may show you Samuel was able to be with us, and he opened up the prayer time, especially on New Year's Eve night. We always enter the new year praying together and talking about the word of the Lord and all that we do. And he was able to be with us. Tremendous. We didn't know if he was, and so he was. He's 85 years old now and speaks very rarely, but he did come. We were able to bring him that night and have a great time. And that's my father-in-law. Some of you may not know him, understand. It's been a few years since then. All right, today we're going to start talking about turnaround. And about a month ago, I was reading the story of Esther and felt impressed to use this today for the beginning of the year. And what it has to do with is about a turnaround. Webster's Dictionary, I think, defines it as something going in one direction and suddenly begins to go in the other direction for the good of whoever it was for. And the story of Esther is exactly that. It's the story of a turnaround. Everybody say turnaround, would you? Turnaround, we got that, you know, in the street vocabulary. When you go somewhere, there's a turnaround. Many times when I'm in California, I did a lot of turning around because I was heading in the wrong direction and turned around. And one time I remember I was going down one of the interstates in L.A. And I remember looking because my side of the interstate was completely open. I mean, there was a few cars, but not many. I looked on the other side, all those poor suckers. I mean, there was miles and miles of cars backed up, inching along until I got about 10 miles down the road and realized I'd gone the wrong direction. It's always a great feeling. I did a turnaround. And I started to call this 180, which if you know, the 360 degrees in a circle. And the diameter is 180, which means it's just if you turn 180 degrees, you just go opposite direction of where you were heading. And we're going to talk about that today. And the story of Esther. The story of Esther is about an orphan, a young girl named Esther who is an orphan. And she is in her family. She's being raised by her uncle. And her uncle is hated by a man by the name of Haman, who hates him because he's a Jew, and because of other reasons, she hates him. And he hates the Jews, this man Haman, and he hates Mordecai. And Mordecai is her uncle. And it's the story of this young orphan girl, Esther, being raised up, becoming queen in place of another woman who is banished because of something she did. And Esther is not known that she's a Jew, but she marries, becomes queen of the land. And it's a story of this evil man named Haman who's out to destroy all the Jews, and especially Mordecai, whom he deathly hates. And because he's a Jew, he wants to kill all the Jews. And it's a story of a turnaround. Everybody say turnaround one more time. So at the beginning of the day, I want to ask you, what do you need to see turned around in your life? I remember raising our kids. There were numerous times during those years of raising our kids, we need to see a turnaround in our kids. Something need to be turned around in them. Something need to be dealt with. 180 degrees had to be done. Something needs to be maybe in your work, maybe in your business, maybe in your relationships, maybe in your family, maybe in a grandchild, maybe in a mom or a dad or a son or daughter, whatever it may be. What do you need a turnaround on? And we're going to study that this morning. Then we're going to pray. And then we're going to begin 21 days of prayer and fasting. Everybody say fasting. One of the things that I've learned, I've saw things misnamed at times in my life. Fasting is the most misnamed thing ever in my life. Because there's nothing fast about fasting. It's long. You never know how long a day can be when you fast. I mean, how long an evening can be if you fast. Where do all these hours come from? And you learn a lot of things. So we'll talk about it in just a minute. But we are beginning tonight. And I'm going to tell you, if your flesh is doing what my flesh did, is, oh, man, oh, man. But I'm going to tell you, like Ben said, it's truth. I mean, a number of days into this thing, we don't know. I mean, it's like, at 21 days, we don't want to stop. I mean, we literally don't want to stop. I remember doing that at half-year mark and felt the same way right now. I know I was sluggish and this and that, but it happened. So we'll talk about it. All right, that's kind of the outlay. Let's read the particulars of the story. And in today, we're going to be jumping back and forth, and I'll be reading what was previously already done. And so just don't get mixed up on that's the story. That's how it worked. And if I forget, like Y'all don't know what happens. Between services, I have a few of them that some of them come and they talk to me about, Pastor, don't say this. You need to do, you didn't do this right. So you guys get the edited version after, you know, we've already run it one time this morning. All right, here we go. Then let the young lady who pleases the king be queen in place of Vashti. Now, Vashti was the queen, and she didn't come when the king, called for her and embarrassed him in front of all the rulers. And so they, off with her head. That was the end of it, of her. And the matter pleased the king and did accordingly. Now, there was at the citadel of Susa a Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with the captives who had been exiled with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whose Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had exiled. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had no father or mother. Now the young lady was beautiful of form and face. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So it came about when the command and decree of the king were heard, and many young ladies were gathered in the citadel of Susa into the custody of Haggai, that Esther was taken in the king's palace into the custody of Haggai, who was in charge of the women. Now the young lady pleased him and found favor. Everybody say favor. Favor with him. So he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and food, gave her 7 choice maids from the king's palace, and transferred her to her and her maids to the best place in the harem. Esther did not make known her people or her kindred. She was a Jew, but she didn't let anybody know that. For Mordecai had instructed her that she should not make them known. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she found favor. Everybody say favor again. And kindness with him more than all the virgins. So they set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of the other lady, Vashti. Then Haman, everybody say boo, or, you know, this is when the music would start. You know how sometimes you're watching a movie and you just know something bad's about to happen because the music has just changed. Well, the music has just changed, all right? Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all the other people, and they do not observe the king's laws, and so it's not in the king's interest to let them remain. Letters were sent. Now, what we didn't read about is he gave a bunch of money to the king's treasury. And that's what he bought. All right. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, men, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to seize their possessions as plunder. Now, how many think they could use a turnaround right now? They need a 180. They need a 180 in their lives because they're about to be annihilated. They're about to be killed at the king, and all the armies would take part in this, and they would be annihilated. Then Mordecai told them what happened was Mordecai sends, when he sees the edict, he sends it to Esther, who was unaware of it. And then Esther sends back a word to Mordecai, and here's what Mordecai then responds back to Esther, who is queen. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you and the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews, because you'll be known and you'll be killed along. For if you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house, though, will perish. And who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast from me, and do not eat or drink for 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. Night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now, some of you, when we talked about fasting, that's exactly what came to your mind. I'm going to perish. I will perish. Let me tell you, you will not perish from the face of the earth. All right, let's go to the next one. Esther 7. So they hang, here is this, you don't know what's happened, but wait, what's the 180 about to occur? You know all that we just said. Here's a turnaround. Here's what happened. Watch this. So they hanged Haman on the gallows which he had prepared for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day, remember that day? When the king's command and edict were about to be executed, on that day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain mastery over them, it was turned to the contrary so that the Jews themselves gained the mastery over those who hated them. Let's pray today. Father, we love you. We thank you for turnarounds in our life. We thank you for coming and doing 180s, Lord. When it looks like it was all going downhill, you turned it around. And so I just pray for everybody in this place that needs a turnaround in their life. Father, I thank you. I love you, Father. I know that you're the God that knows no defeat. And so, Lord, we just ask for wisdom today. I ask for understanding today. I ask you to open our eyes, Lord, that we can grasp it. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. I want to talk to you about some timeless truths that literally have worked for centuries and will work today. They are things that God has made and way God does things that literally has never changed. Christianity did not start in 2016. It's a new year, but Christianity's been around for thousands of years, and God's been around longer than that. And there are ways in God that you can see things move that electronics cannot do, other things cannot do. And what we're doing, we're challenging you to get your face out of Facebook and get your face in the book. Come on, somebody. Sorry. And began to talk about something. Because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Jesus says, but you, if you fast... Is that what it says? What is it? But you, if you fast, sometimes, if you fast. Everybody say when. That means he thought that you were going, he said, you're going to fast. But you, when you, not if you fast, not if somewhere something happens and you decide to fast. When you fast, not if, but when you fast. And one of the keys is, in verse chapter 9, they asked him one time about that because he wasn't fasting with his disciples. The disciples of John came to him asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will what? Jesus has been taken away, and these are the days of fasting. And we'll talk about it. So one of the keys is understanding how to fast. Before we go any further, let me just say, if you are on medication or medical from a doctor, be sure you talk to your doctor. Understand what to do. Don't listen. Do not say, oh, man, I'm going to go on 21 days. I'm not going to eat one morsel of food. You're going to die. You're going to die. If you've never fasted much, you're not going to do very good. And you're going to, you know, I told you there's a song we used to sing, Lord, you are more precious than silver. And the original context of that song was, Lord, you are more precious than a Big Mac. Because the girl that wrote it was on a fast. And she said she just couldn't stand it. She was on a 1 day or 2 day or third day of the fast and was driving by McDonald's. Next thing she knows, she's ordering a Big Mac from the window. And when she ate it, she felt so guilty. And then the Lord just released her. So one of the keys about fasting is starting out on a level you can do something about. And what we're going to do is, they did a 3-day fast. And what I'm going to do is this week, I'm going to challenge you to do a 3-day fast this week. But here's how it's going to be different. I'm going to challenge you to take 3 days and fast each one of these days differently. The first day, I want you to do a fast of food. You do it any way you want. You do one meal. You do Oreo cookies. You do from sunrise to sunset. You do lunch. Whatever it is, whatever it does. Listen, whatever you do, let it be something that means something to you. A number of years ago, I had to go somewhere out of the country. My passport was going to expire. I don't know if you don't know that, but you got to have, how many weeks is it? You've got to have so many, a month or weeks. You can't go when your passport has a few days left by the time you get back. They won't allow you to go out of the country anymore. You've got to have extended time on your passport now in case you were to get sick over there. They had to keep you. You got to learn how you pass. So I went over to Blue Bonnet, over on Blue Bonnet at the big post office, passport office, and I was getting my passport renewed, and one of those we can do it in a day or two and get it back. And I remember I was talking, there was two ladies in there doing it, and I was the only one in there, and I said, I'm a pastor, I'm going on a missions trip, I need my passport. You're a pastor, we need to ask you a question. I said, okay, we both go to the same church, and this one woman said, and the pastor, our pastor wants us to fast one meal a day. And I said, okay, well, and she points at the other woman. She never eats breakfast, never, and she's going to fast breakfast. Does it count? Does it count? I started to say, number one, won't you get your nose out of her business and get your nose in your own business? But what I said was, I said, if it matters to you, it matters to God. I said, if it matters to you, then it matters to you. Whatever you fast, if it matters to you, I don't care if nobody else, it doesn't affect them whatsoever. Iota. If it matters to you, it matters to God. If you're going to do that. So if it matters to you, it matters to God. And so what happened, I like what David said. They have that scripture. I know I'm taking my... Onan, this is one time David was about to do an offering, and Onan wanted to give David, he had a big heart, wanted to give David everything David needed to make this offering. He said, take for it yourself, let my lord the king do what is good in his sight. See, I'll give you the oxen, David, and for burnt offerings. I'll give you the threshing sledges for the wood and the wheat for grain offering. I'll give it all to you, David. And David said to Onan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. I don't even want a discount. I will not take what is yours for the Lord or offer a burnt offering that doesn't cost me something. So during these 3 days this week, the first one is food. Do something that matters to you. If you don't eat breakfast, don't, well, fancy breakfast this morning. Yeah. Do something that matters to you. Second day is pick one day and fast entertainment. Fast entertainment. And then the third day is take a day and fast the internet. Oh, some of you are feeling the withdrawal right now. Just can't hardly hold it. Man, what can Facebook do without me? I don't know how they can live without me if I don't get on there and tell the world everything I'm doing right now. Take those 3 days. We're going to do a three-day fast and fast one of those things. As I said before, always, always, always drink water. Always drink water. Esther comes and she says word back to Mordecai, let's do a three-day fast. You fast, my maiden's going to fast, everybody's going to fast. We do a three-day fast. I want you to fast. So the Bible says, and in doing that, then there was a turnaround. And so I want you to see three things, and then we're going to pray this morning for God to do it. Listen, come out and be with us these 21 days. You will be amazed. 6 o'clock, we end right at 7 o'clock. And, I mean, it goes by. All you do, we come in, you're not on the spot. We have my leaders are leading every night. We're going in a certain direction. And they're going to be up there leading it, a little bit of worship. And then we lead and we pray. And then those that want to, you just kind of be, you can section off by yourself. And you can be all by yourself and just pray. It is tremendous up in the front building. We start from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And there are three things I think God's going to do for your life today, this week, and this 21 days. And here's three things the Lord gave me. Number one is favor. Everybody say favor. Everybody say favor. I'm going to favor. All right, Esther chapter 4, how many of you need favor? How many need favor in your life? You need a little bit of favor in your life, maybe at work or school or in friendships or in kids or whatever it may be. You need favor. And look what Esther. She also gave a copy of the text of the edict which he had been issued in Susa to their destruction that he might show Esther and inform her and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. And the king's servant and the people of the king's province know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, has but one law, and that is he is to be put to death. You could not go into the king's presence unless he summoned you. And listen, Mordecai is telling Esther, go see the king. Go tell him what's happening. Tell him this bad thing this bad man Haman's doing. And Esther says, I can't, because if you go in, he whacks your head off. The queen before me got whacked. He doesn't play around. He will whack your head off. And so when it's said to her, she's not playing a game. She knows this is dangerous. This is real business. This happens. This guy does this. He doesn't put up with, this. Unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king these 30 days. So she says, I can't come. So look at this. She decides finally. She says, all right, she sends word to Mordecai. You tell everybody around you, all the Jews with you, to fast, and we're going to fast for 3 days. And watch what happens, because she gains favor. There is something that happens in a fast that will not happen when you do nothing. Fasting and prayer changes circumstances. Watch this. She's fasting, they're fasting, three-day fast. And they go in now. She decides after 3 days, she's going in to see the king. And when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained what? The very thing they were praying for. Because last time a woman did this, off with her head. And she became queen instead of the other Vashti. But now they fast and pray. And she comes in before the king. And the Bible says God is working this thing out. And God gives her favor to the king. And she found obtained favor in his sight. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter which was in his hand. Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. And then the king, watch this. What is troubling you, Queen Esther? And what is your request? She hadn't been there for 30 days. She hadn't been there for a month. Hadn't seen him in a month. And don't know what's going on. He's in a bad mood. And he hadn't called for her. He hadn't seen her. Hadn't seen her in a month. And suddenly, look at his heart for her. Look, instead of, what are you doing coming in here? What last woman did this? You know what happened to her. 3 days in fasting had changed the whole atmosphere. He looks at her, and the Bible says she was granted favor in his sight. Absolutely not. It was prayer and fasting before God. And I'm going to tell you, I believe even though it was a worthy cause and a right cause she was about, had she not prepared, things would have been totally different. Not only in the king's eyes, but in her own attitude. Sometimes he changes things in us, which causes things to happen in their eyes. There are things that we change in our life and the prayer and the fasting sometimes. And then that's what produces the effect of the other people. And so she comes in, and the Bible, what's the turnaround? Instead of getting her head whacked off, this is, what is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom will be given to you. I think that's a pretty good turnaround. What do you think? That's a pretty good turnaround than what happened to Vashti. Look at the next one. Then Esther spoke again to the king, fell at his feet, wept, and implored him to avert the evil scheme of Haman the Agite and his plot which he had devised against the Jews. The king extended the golden scepter to Esther. She came in again. So Esther arose and stood before the king. Then she said, if it pleases the king, if I have found favor before him and the matter seems proper to the king, and I'm pleasing his sight, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedath, the Agite, which he wrote to destroy all the Jews who are in the king's province. In them, the king granted the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and defend their lives, destroy and kill, annihilate the entire army of any people or province which might attack them, including the children and women, and to plunder their spoil. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes in blue and white, a large crown of gold, and garment on fine linen and purple, and the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced. For the Jews there was light and gladness and joy and honor. And each and every province and each and every city, wherever the king's command and his decree arrived, there was gladness and joy and Jews and feast and a holiday. And many of the people became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen. Let me tell you, how many of you need a turnaround in your life somewhere? It might be as dark as it was for them, but God did a turnaround. It might be in your children. It might be in your emotions. It might be in a habit in your life. It might be something that's going in absolutely the wrong direction. And you say, how can that thing be turned around? I'm going to tell you, prayer and fasting. Jesus one time was in a situation, and Jesus hadn't approached there yet. And the disciples were trying to do something. And they couldn't cast the devil out. And Jesus appears and casts the devil out. And they said, Lord, why couldn't we do that? And here's what Jesus said. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. This turnaround can only happen by prayer and fasting. And some of you are facing a turn. You need a turnaround. You need a 180 in some part of your life. And let me tell you, I'm going to do like Jesus said. This kind only will be turned around by prayer and fasting. It's not going to be, listen, God does not respond to pity parties. Oh God. The Bible says when Paul and Silas was in jail, they began to sing praise unto God, and God joined in an earthquake, boom, 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 and all their fetters and chains were broken off. A turnaround. What do you need turned around in your life? What do you need to be turned around? What needs to be a 180? Going down a one wrong direction? I'm going to tell you, and I growing up with our families and all that, I've had seasons when I just needed God to help me turn the thing around. Everybody say favor, would you? Hey, let me see what I can do this with. Do I have it over there? I don't know what it is with it. Let me see here now. Let me see what I can do this with. All right. Watch this. Let me have this. I know this company. They're good. Y'all come up here. Come up here a minute, would you? Now, let me tell you something. I just want you like me and Jasmine. He's the same way. I want you to watch this. How many think, let's read Proverbs. Let me just read Proverbs for him. Read Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. How many think it took him favor to get this wife? How many just think it took favor from God? Now, you remember the joke I told? Remember the lady right back there? See the lady right back there in the orange? See the lady right there in the orange? See her right here? She's turning her head back. See her right here in the orange right here? See her right there? Everybody pointing at Lisa. See Lisa back there? Lisa told me a joke one time. She did. She told me a joke one time. She said that the man went to God and said, God, why did you make women so pretty? She told me this joke. And God said, so you'd like them? God, why did you make them so soft so you'd like them? God, why did you make them smell so good so you'd like them? And then Lisa told me this joke. Lisa back there told me this joke. She said, God, why did you make them so dumb so they'd like you? Now, that is absolutely wrong, Lisa. I rebuked her just like you rebuke her. And that is absolutely wrong. So it was okay. So cut the lights down. Would you cut the lights down? All right, let's say this. Let's say, you see, there's a lot of guys all through, cut all the way down. Yeah, there's a lot of guys over here that this young lady could have married. I mean, lots of guys. Sandra could have married anybody. She picked any of these guys around here. Anybody. Yeah, you need to close your eyes. Just close your eyes just a minute. But you know what God did? Let me show you how favor. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor. See, we as guys, we got to have favor for these women to love us. So here's what happened one day. Of all the men, here's how Sandra was looking. All these, she didn't see any of them. And watch this. Here's what God did. Just like that. Look here. All she could see was his face right there. Come on, give him a good clap. I'll bring the lights back up. All right, thank you, guys. So what God does is, how many of you need God to do something like that in your life? I told this story, you know, I was telling, I did 101 this morning between services. We do our growth track. And I was doing 101 for the group this morning. And I told him, I said, you know, when I was 30 years old, I didn't get married. And one day I went to Israel, and in less than 2 weeks, I had proposed to a woman. I hadn't hardly even dated or nothing. And in 2 weeks, I proposed to a woman. I came back to my church. They could not believe when I told them what happened. I mean, they absolutely couldn't believe that I went on a trip and I proposed to somebody in 2 weeks. So what I told Jad, said, you're going to come, and what we're going to do is, when you come that Sunday and visit, I'm going to bring you up, and then they're going to eat, the whole church is going to go, eat this or this. And so that's how we're going to work it. And since then, the church has turned on me, and, you know, they love her. And so I know part side. We all on the same side over here. I'm not going to let you choose between us. So what happens is this. God gives you favor in all kinds of different things in life. What do you need favor? What do you need God to shine the light on and just give you favor about? Maybe it's at work. I remember one time, they were giving some promotions out. And I remember that... one day I just felt like I ought to go. He sit at the front thing and log in samples, and it was a rainy day and no samples were coming in. So I decided just go clean the bathroom. I don't know why, and the bathroom, the paint was peeling off the floor. So I got down, I was painting, I was scraping the floor, getting the paint off the floor. And the main boss walked in, and he saw that there wasn't anybody sitting at the count, you know, logging samples. And he said, "Where's Terry Workman?" And I remember he just happened to turn around and the door was open. There I was in the bathroom scraping the floor of the bathroom. Nobody would want to do that. Nobody would. And I wasn't doing that. You know what happened? That just gave me favor with him. I got the promotion. Da, da, da. God can just shine a light on you at the right moment and just shine. You just come alive. You stand out in the crowd. That's what happened. You got married. You stand out in the crowd. So it's not for everybody. So what happens is this. God gives favor. And that's what happened to you. So the first thing you need to do, I believe, these 21 days. That God is going to give you favor in some situations you need favor in. You need favor. You need somehow, you need God to give you favor with your boss, give you favor with a neighbor, give you favor with, I mean, you name it. God's going to give you favor. The second thing is this. A lot of people get favor and then they mess it up. A lot of people get favor from God, but then they don't know how to handle it. So the second thing you're going to need this, and you see in this story, is wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. You need to know how to manage the favor that God gives you. Because God can give you favor and then you can mess it up. I've seen a lot of people that inherit a lot of money. They never knew how to handle money and they lose it all. You need to do favor. Watch this. In Esther chapter 5, it says, "Then the king said to her, 'What is troubling you, O Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be given you.'" Now this is the first time she comes in before the king. And I want you to, because we've already read some of the fulfillment of the story, but I want you to watch how God gives this little girl wisdom to manage the favor that is given her. Because a lot of people can have favor and then mismanage that favor and lose out. And it happens a lot of times. You know the stats on the people that win the lottery, right? You saw the stats. The people that win the lottery within a few years are as broke and busted and disgusted as they were before they ever won the lottery. Money goes right through the hands. All the relatives that never knew they had shows up at their house. Everything's gone. So how do you handle the favor when God gives you favor? I've seen people promoted and then had no idea how to be a manager or how to be a boss. Just horrible. Just they got the favor, but then they didn't know what to do with it. So how do you manage? You need the wisdom of God to manage the favor God gives you. And here's one. And during these 21 days, here's what we're going to do. Watch the favor. Watch the wisdom. If it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to a banquet that I prepared for him. Esther, why didn't you just tell the king he's in a good mood? He's half the kingdom. Tell him what Haman's... He's not... Listen, when she became queen, the way she became queen was she got a eunuch over her, and instead of choosing the dresses she wanted to choose, she let this eunuch choose them because he knew what the king liked. So instead of choosing the little black dress over here, or she drove this gown over here, she said, "What do you?" All the other women were doing, choosing their own, getting their own makeup. The Bible says she let this eunuch pick which makeup. A little bit of canal over, moonlight over Opelousas. Put that on there, a little bit of canal number 5. And so I know. So when you do that, so she put all this stuff on her, and she let him choose because he knew what the king liked. So she was used to being listening to the voice, and that's a type of the Holy Spirit. So you watch her now. She's gained favor, but now what is she going to do with it? There's a lot of people. If you see them, wisdom. Listen, wisdom is not knowledge. There's a lot of smart, dumb people. Is that right? You ever see somebody who's real smart and dumb as dirt? Don't know how to, dumb as dirt. And so what happened was she now is going to get wisdom on how to manage the favor that's been given her. And here's what she does. She said, as they drank their wine at the banquet, the king said to Esther, "What do you want? Tell me your petition, for it be granted to you. What is your request?" See, Haman has no idea that she's a Jew. Haman doesn't have a clue. And she, even to the half of the kingdom, it'll be done, Esther. And Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this. If I found favor in the sight of the king and it pleases the king to grant my petition and do what I request, may the king and Haman come to a banquet, which I will prepare for them tomorrow too." Esther, just get to it, man. Just go for it. Tell the king what the dastardly, guy has done. And the king and Haman came to drink wine with Queen Esther. Now, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor again in his sight and extended the golden scepter, which was in his hand. And Esther came near and touched him. And the king said to Esther, "On the second day also they drank their wine at the banquet. What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be done." And queen says, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me as my petition and my people as my request. For we have been sold, I and my people." Now notice, here's the third time, and now she is managing the favor. She's gotten favor again. She had favor the first time, favor the second, and favor a third time. Now watch this. Now she feels in her heart, the Holy Spirit said, "Do it." God said, "Now tell him. Now tell him." You've got to have wisdom to know how to manage the favor God gives you. Because God will give you favor. Many of you, God gave you favor with somebody. You messed up the relationship. Messed it up big time. How do you manage the favor God did? It takes wisdom. We have been sold, I and my people, destroyed, to be killed and be annihilated. And if we had been sold as slaves, and men and women, be one thing, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not have been commensurate with the annoyance of the king. The king, Ahasuerus, asking, "Who is he? Where is he? Who would presume to do this?" And Esther said, "A foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman." How many know his appetite left him real fast? When you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. And he'd been coming to banquet after banquet, and suddenly these words come out, and the Bible says, Haman became terrified before the king and the queen. The king arose in his anger from the drinking of the wine and went to the palace garden, but Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that harm had been determined against him by the king. He knew that he was in trouble. Now, wisdom in Proverbs 4 says, I'm not going to read it all. Wisdom is being able to use the knowledge God's given you. Knowledge is not enough. It's not enough to have knowledge. You need wisdom. Wisdom is to be able to take the knowledge that you've gained and use it in a wise way. There, you know this. There are lots of people. We were on a bus yesterday. We were on a Hertz rental car bus coming from Hertz rental car place back to LAX airport. I'm going to tell you, this woman driving this bus, she knew everything. But she was mean as a snake. I mean, I've never seen this. I mean, this one, I mean, I'm not making up. A suitcase rolls out and this young Asian girl cries out about something. And she goes out and just mimics the girl. Cries, threw the suitcase back in there. And then, I mean, stopped the bus and because she was going to say something and somebody was talking. She stopped the bus. I mean, the first person got up, I said, don't leave us. Please don't leave us with this lady. And but she had a lot of knowledge, but she had no wisdom on how to use what authority was given her. I only think that a good thought was that I just got a 5-minute ride with this woman, then she's out of my life, gone. And how do you manage it? What do you do? Wisdom is ability to know how to apply the knowledge God's given you. So the second thing you need is wisdom, all right? Then the last thing this morning is, watch, we're going to go back into the story again, so we're going to go back and forth, so, you know, we're not just, you know, chronologically following the story, we're jumping back and forth, is watch this. This week, during these 21 days, God's going to give you favor, and then God's going to give you wisdom how to manage that favor. And then when you do that, you watch this, God is going to divinely arrange circumstances in your life. Divinely. This week we were in Pasadena, California. It's a big place. And with 1 million people, 1 million people descend upon Pasadena for the Rose Parade. And there's a lot of people. Jasmine is in a grocery store, and she has her own car, and I have my own car. And because we had, Samuel was in the hospital, I mean, a retirement home, and Naomi happened to be put in the hospital, so we were going back and forth a lot of times. And I happened to go by a grocery store and look in the door, and there's Jasmine at the checkout counter. Turned the car around, did a 180. Everybody say 180. Did a 180. Parked in the parking lot. And just as she was about to hand the money, I slid in my card and slapped that thing on there. Well, it was great. You had to be there. It was really a great, great moment. It was just a fantastic moment. You'd like it. Now, what happens in life is, those that do not have spiritual eyes think, well, it just so happened he was driving by. Just so happened. No. Listen, if you believe your steps are ordered of the Lord, and you believe that God will divinely arrange circumstances in your life, let me watch this. One time we had a big issue. We had an issue went down between me and another minister, and it was a pretty big issue, and so it's kind of stood there unresolved. I was down in Florida, down near the coast, and went to a meeting down there. It was a big meeting. And the main auditorium, when I got there, the main auditorium was already full, and the overflow room was almost already full. So I worked my way in there, Jasmine and I did, and I worked my way in there, and I get somewhere around halfway, and I see about 4 or 5 seats in the middle over there. You know, I don't how many like sitting on the end? You like me, I like sitting on the end. But only 4 or 5 seats over in the middle. So I said, excuse me, working my way over, excuse me, the song service is going, excuse me. And when I looked up, here was the other minister and their family coming straight toward the same seats. And I could say, we saw each other. So we go, hey, you know how you do, Clay, how you do, how you doing, love you, how you doing? And we sat down side by side. So we're sitting there, the minister starts ministering. He starts ministering on conflict and forgiveness. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up right now, Scotty. I'm ready to go. And you imagine, I mean, I tell you, God can divinely work circumstances where it's unbelievable. I mean, God will just work. I mean, what's the odds? What's the odds of that happening? And God just divinely arranges circumstances for your life. Now, watch what happened. This is really funny. Without spiritual eyes, you'll say, well, just so happened I was in Florida. It just so happened. I told you this one time I was going to Disney World in Orlando back before I was married. And I used to get real tired and I used to da-da-da. So one day I just borrowed somebody's car. Wouldn't go there. So I borrowed somebody's car. I drove down. I hit the turnpike and was going down. I was about an hour down the turnpike in Florida and decided to pull off on get me something to eat. I was hungry. Got off on the exit. The place didn't have a food place. So he said, go down the road about a mile or two, and there's a nice little restaurant down there. So go down there, pull in the restaurant, get a newspaper, hold it up, and next thing I hear, why, Pastor Terry, what are you doing here? I'm going to tell you, God can just arrange things at school. That's unbelievable. God can just arrange things that happening. And watch what happened. This, you've got to see this, because this is hilarious in one way, not for Haman, but all right, watch this. Then Haman went out that day glad and pleased of heart. This, we're backing the story up before he's revealed, because he'd been at a banquet with Queen Esther, and Esther's not saying anything. She's not saying, why don't you just say it, Esther? He's there. The king's there. Tell him what this bad man's done. She's not doing that. She's managing by wisdom the favor God's given her with the king. And she's doing it because she's learned how to not just what she wants to do, because she didn't do that to become queen. She listened to the eunuch. She's now listening. She learned to do. Something's inside her. Just tell her, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say it yet. And watch what happens. Haman went out that day glad and pleased of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand up or tremble before him, Haman was filled with anger against Mordecai. And Haman controlled himself, however, and went to his house and sent for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches and the number of his sons and every instant where the king had magnified him. Now, I mean, we'd probably get tired of listening to this guy, you know, after a while. He's talking about how much money he's got, how influential he is, how his kids are better than now your kids, and how he promoted him above the princes and the servants of the king. And Haman said to him, even Esther, the queen, let no one but me come with the king to the banquet. Man, just the three of us, which he had prepared. And tomorrow also I'm invited. I'm going to another banquet tomorrow. Yet all of this don't satisfy me, because every time I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. And then Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends said, I tell you what to do. Build some hanging gallows. Bring some gallows. And 50 cubits high. Made. And in the morning, ask the king when you're having a banquet. Ask him if you can have Mordecai hanged on it. Then he didn't go joyfully with the king to his banquet, and the advice pleased Haman so that the gallows were made. Now, watch this. Verse 13 says, during that, now watch this. Now, listen, they need a turnaround. Mordecai is about to be murdered. All the Jews are about to be murdered. And watch the turnaround by God divinely arranging circumstances that came out of result of a 3-day fast. I'm going to tell you, if I told you, you know, your life can change in 21 days. Your life can change in 21 days. You can be different. I mean, your life can change. Your direction of your life, what's happening in your life, can change in 21 days. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I give you as a promise before, your life can change if you will do and learn timeless truths that absolutely do life. You can get rid of, listen, the electronics and all the stuff today is fantastic. It should be used. But if you miss the truths, you'll never change. You can have 1,344 friends on Facebook and be the loneliest person on planet Earth. You can live vicariously through all their experiences and never experience life for yourself. God wants you, listen, God wants to be divinely arrange circumstances in your life, in your children's life. There's not a day passes that in the morning and the night we bring our kids and our grandkids and our moms and dads before God. And we pray for you guys. There's not a day goes by. There's not a day goes by that is not done. I'm going to tell you the divine favor of God and how He arranges their lives and what they do. And I'm going to tell you, it happens. Watch this. And so during the night, watch this. Here comes one of these happens. Here comes, well, just by chance. During the night, the king could not sleep, so he gave an order. This is the night before the banquet the next day. So he gives an order to bring the book of records. So, you know, a good way to, if you ever wake up in the night, get you a book to read. And if you really want to go to sleep fast, read the Bible. It'll put you to sleep. The Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who were doorkeepers, and they had sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed upon, just so happened. See, that day, gallows had been built to hang him on, Mordecai on. Just so happened that night, just so happened, the king couldn't sleep. just so happened, of all the things, king could have got up, he could have eaten, bring me a meal, let's go for a walk. No, he said, bring me a book and read about all the things of the kingdom. So they began to read him about the kingdom. They just so happened to begin to read about Mordecai, what Mordecai had done to save the king's life. And the king said, what's been done for him? And nothing, just so happened, been bestowed on Mordecai for this. And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing's been done for him. So the king said, who is in the court? Just so happened. just so happened. That moment, Haman shows up. And on his heart is he's going to ask the king, let's hang Mordecai. Watch this. Who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace in order to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows, which he had prepared for him. So Haman came in to the king and said, what is to be done for the man? The king is asking Haman, what's to be done for the man whom the king desires to honor? And Haman said to himself, who does a king want to honor more than me? Man, I've been at a banquet with just he and his wife, and then they invite me another banquet. Man, this is what he does. Haman said, oh, let me think about that, king. For the man who the king desires to honor him, I think it would be good. Let him bring a royal robe which the king has worn, and the horse on which the king has ridden, on whose head a royal crown has been placed. And let the robe and the horse be handed over to the one who is king's most noble princes. And let them array the man who the king desires to honor and lead him. He can already see himself. He can see himself. He can see the crown on his head, the robe on his head. He can see himself. And this big wig having to lead the horse with it. Oh, so that's what the man, God, the king does to the man whom the king wants to honor. Yeah. And what's this? Desires honor. Go ahead. Then the king said to Haman, man, that's a great idea. Take quickly the robes and the horses, as you have said, and do so for who? Everybody say 180. Everybody say turn around. I'm going to tell you, I wish I'd had a Kodak of this guy's face when he's hit him. He's about to ask that Haman be hanged on the gallows he just built. And now you talk about a turnaround. You talk about a turn. And it's all in response to a 3-day fast. It's all in response to them seeking God. And God gave favor, number one, wisdom to manage the favor. And now think about this. And Mordecai, the Jew, is sitting at the king's gate. Do not fall short in anything of all that you have said. Haman took the robe, the horse, to raid Mordecai, proclaimed before him, thus shall man be done to the man whom the king desires. He recounted, he went home. He was just weeping and crying and his friends and everything. And then the wise man is there said, hey, I'll tell you the truth. You're in big trouble. Because if this happened, and the Bible says, as soon as that came out of their mouth, the Bible says the eunuchs came. They came to grab Haman and hastily brought him to the banquet that Esther has prepared. How many think that something's about to happen that he didn't plan on? Watch this. The king arose in his anger from drinking the wine and went to the palace and garden. And Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, because Queen Esther now has told what this Haman done. For he saw that harm had been determined against him by the king. Now the king returned from the palace garden in the palace where they were drinking wine. Haman was fallen on the couch where Esther was. And the king said, will you even assault the queen with me? And that just so happened. Just so happened. It just so happened. I was in the classroom and then this person came in and that person. And then this was said. It just so happened. And the Bible says they covered Haman's. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered his mouth. Then Haman looks, just so happened, one of the eunuchs who were before the king said, you know what? I was just walking by his house today. You know what he's building yesterday? He built some gallows, some hanging gallows. Won't you go hang him on those? And the Bible says, good idea. And they went and hung him on the gallows. Let me tell you something. God, listen, I don't know what you need as a turnaround in your life. God wants to do the turnaround in your life. What do you need? God can do a 180. God can give you favor. And then, see, she couldn't say it yet. The Holy Spirit didn't want her to say it yet because the gallows weren't built yet. The first banquet, the gallows hadn't been built yet. So the Holy Spirit, see, having wisdom to manage the favor God gave you. And then watch God begin just to work the circumstance. Work, divinely arrange a circumstance. What do you need turned around in your life? What do you need favor in? What do you need? What do you need wisdom then that God has given you favor? What do you need divinely arranged circumstances to get you in, get you out, get you somewhere, put you in a place? You don't have any ability. I want you to lay everything aside. Let's lay everything aside this morning. I want to ask you, what do you need a 180 in your life? What do you need a turnaround in your life? Is it kids? Something to do with one of your children? Grandchildren? Maybe your wife, your husband? maybe a mom or a dad, maybe a work-related, well, maybe a relationship with a friend that you need, maybe at work, maybe there's something at work that you just need favor. You've been, you know, wrongly accused, or what do you need? What do you need favor in? What do you need favor in today? What do you need God to come in and do a turnaround? What do you need? And then maybe you think, I'm getting it, but I'm messing it up. I'm messing it up. Then what do you need wisdom? What ask God for wisdom. And then say, Lord, you know, this will never come to pass unless you begin to pull the strings behind the scene and you begin to divinely work this thing, Lord, that we get it worked. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. I know that some of you, I mean, your heart is really, really weighed down with heaviness because you don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to see this thing changed. Can I tell you that if you'll take this serious, these 21 days, it will change your life. It will change your life. It will change 2016 for you. See, we do this every year because I know that the fountainhead of the year will set the tone for the year. So we're telling God at the very start, God, we need you. We cannot do this. There's a turnaround needed in my life. There's a turnaround. Maybe a habit's got the upper hand of you right now, and you don't know how to get out of its clutches. And really, you've just finally had to admit, it's got me. It's got me. It's a stronghold. It's got a strong hold on my life. And even though I say that I can quit anytime, it keeps coming up. But then you can't. It's got a stronghold on you. But there can be a turnaround from God. God, this day, I just feel like it's a day. They tell them there's going to be a turnaround in their lives. That prayer and fasting still works. It is still the path that the saints have trod that God can answer. God can listen. God will hear prayer when you call upon His name. He will answer. He will come to your rescue. He will be your deliverer. There's no defeat in God. God's never been defeated. And so we come to the place where we learn, okay, God, we need this. We need this. So, Lord, right now, I just lift up every turnaround that's on the heart of people in here. Every plot that's been devised against their destruction, their children's destruction, their friendships, their finances, Lord, their workplace, Lord, their health, Father, and their body. And Lord, I just thank you right now for the turnaround, God, that you give, the turnarounds that you provide. Lord, the 180 that can happen in Jesus' name. We thank you today, Father. We call out upon you, Lord. We tell you that we're going to fast and pray these 21 days to seek your face and to seek your favor and your wisdom and, Lord, and your hand upon our lives to divinely arrange the circumstances. And so, Lord, we love you. We trust in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed still. Maybe what you need is repentance. See, repentance means to change your way of thinking. It means to do a 180 in your thinking. It means to go, if you're going west, then turn around and start going east. In your heart, in your life. What do you mean by that, Pastor? It means this. See, repentance means not just telling God you're sorry, not just telling God that you feel bad, but repentance means to leave whatever direction you're going in and turn around. Maybe you've been going away from God, but what you need is repentance to turn toward God. What you need is to say, okay, God, I can't hide. I can't cover myself enough. I can't cleanse myself. I can't get out of this guilt. Lord, I come to you. And what God did was God made a way. The greatest turnaround in all history was when mankind was going straight down. And Jesus came into the world and made the world do a turnaround. When the world was at the crisis, when the world was at its lowest point, God in the fullness of time sent forth His Son, made under the law, made of a woman, made like me and you, and yet without sin. So that the day would come at 33 years of age, he could give his life because it was sinless and he could take your place. See, somebody guilty can't take your place if they're guilty too. If both of you rob the bank, one of them can't say, well, I'm going to take his punishment. No, both of you get this. Both of you get the same punishment. But if somebody comes in that's never robbed a bank, never done anything wrong, he could take your place. And what Jesus did on the cross, he took your place so that you could experience this thing called repentance, that you could turn and go the other, do a 180 and go the other way. And you can't do it in your own strength. You just, you make the decision. Then Jesus comes in and gives you help. He helps you then begin to walk the other way. He gives you grace for grace, the Bible says. He gives you, it's not, you're saved by grace and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. is it God's grace? So if you even sense that this morning, that's God speaking to your heart to turn you and change you. And he'll begin to give you favor on your life and wisdom to manage it and then divinely orchestrate all the things you may have gotten caught into that you don't know how to get out of, the webs and the deceits and the deceptions and the bondages. He will bring you out of those things. So if that's you and you want to do that this morning, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody's going to pray with us. And I want everybody to pray so they help those that have never prayed maybe much before. So let's pray together. Say, dear God, I want my life changed. I don't want to live the same this year as I did last. So this morning I repent. I ask you to forgive me of all that I've done wrong. Change me. Thank you for dying for me, Jesus. And taking all my sin upon you. Now, Lord, change me. Come into my life and live in me. Give me strength. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Give the Lord a good clap offering if you would. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll be here every night. Love to have you come out with us. Give somebody a good hug before you go. God bless you.